And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have bought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, now it's time to get your election porn on. Now go get some election porn. Click. You ready? Well, last night, it was kind of subdued. I mean, things went, pretty expectedly, whatever. But it was a full house. Everybody came over. They wanted to just say, yo, what's up? They're just kind of, and they were kind of glued to the TV. People were all talking. We had three TVs going around the house, and they each had their crowd. So it was a nice gathering. It was a visitor from Bulgaria, man. He wanted to explain it to us. So let me tell you how it really. So there was a lot of fun, and Dr. Frank and Svarda and baby Phaedra came to see what's up. So, and she's walking now, man. Damn, that's a whole nother thing. So I got you there, Frank. Frank. All right. Wait. I got the wrong button. No, there's the button. I'm sorry. I had the wrong button. All right. Frank. All right. So you came out and you want to put the show on. Tell us everything or how your evening went.
It was a very long day going back and forth, and we had a good time on the show yesterday, of course. And then going into to vote, we dressed up the baby in her little 4th of July outfit with her little red, white, and blue shoes. It was another excuse to put it on and annoy Ernie with all the red, white, and blue. But it was interesting, though, going to vote. The voting lines were not that long. They were long in the morning. I think I told you I was almost about a couple of minutes late to your show only because there was so much traffic.
Only because of traffic. That's what it was.
Whatever.
But next week's going to be one.
I was telling you guys on the way in, it was pretty interesting because a lot of the intersections mm-hmm. are blocked from people trying to get in for the early vote, the early morning. During the day, though, there was really nothing at all. And even at night, usually you see another slam at night. And that was not occurring, at least in what areas that I saw. I did have a quick little anecdote. I told a couple of you when I was standing in line to vote, it was only a couple people that were there. There was, we're in the gymnasium area where the voting booths were, and we're just waiting for our turn. And there was a mother standing next to us, and she had like a 12-year-old boy that I guess she brought in with, to show the process. You think it's like homeschooling, which doesn't happen anymore. And anyway, I overheard them, and they were talking. The boy asked a question about voting, and she said, the boy asked if it was a democracy, and she said, well, it's not quite a democracy, and they're having a nice conversation, and I just interjected. I said, hey, it's a representative republic.
Oh, yeah, here comes Frank, man. We'll explain it to you.
That's all I said. No, it was a good conversation, and the mom agreed, and she goes, oh, yes, it is, and she obviously was a teacher or something. We're just having a nice conversation with the boy. The minute I said that, or the minute we had this conversation, overcame the voter Nazis, it's jumping over to us and you can't talk about politics and this and that. And we both just stood up and said, what are you talking about politics? We're talking civics. This is just basic conversation about what we're doing here. But they were so uptight. Possibly they heard Republic and they thought we're talking Republican Party or something.
They wouldn't know the difference anyway.
It just shows you just basically how uptight this country is. Hopefully I'm glad there were no real outbreaks or violence or anything there. And speaking of violence, because of the winds on both sides last night, it looks like, Ernie, your revolution's going to be pushed off another 2 years at least, because if the Democrats got swamped with a red wave, they were probably going to revolt and have another conniption, which, they're eventually going to have. But I think it did push it off in general. So I think what we saw last night was, I don't want to play too semantics about the waves, red wave, it's a red ripple, whatever people are saying right now, or blue ripple, really. But I think what happened was, just to give you a quick analogy, It's like you throw a bowling ball into a swimming pool towards one side. And that bowling ball was all of the corruption of the Democrats. It just got to overwhelming, changing the Senate rules, the nuclear option, Hillary Clinton and the emails. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And threw it in. That created this huge disruption wave that split the pool. And the momentum was for the Republicans, this huge wave that started going one direction. And then the Democrats went the other direction across the pool, and they both hit their sides. You know, the one side was the Democrats finally doing the Mueller investigation and all of this. The Republicans, you know, we had a hard time getting their footing with under Trump, with health care going down and the wall going down at first and all of this. But then it hit stride. Trump hit his stride, I think, with North Korea. I think that was when things started really turn around, that this guy is not crazy and he's not that with his finger on the button. And then from North Korea came, you know, between the economy getting better, And then the Supreme Court nomination, all of this stuff gave them all this momentum. And then you have these two waves coming back after they ricocheted off the side of the pools with all this momentum, and it comes right back in the middle of the pool, and both these waves just cancel each other out. And that's pretty much what we had last night. The numbers were bigger on both sides. It was bigger, but at the end of the day, if you just kind of look at how many House seats were lost, it's just like a regular kind of average Jimmy Carter type of election, or a midterm election in essence, where not much really countered each other. And I think that's the surprise to some people, who, including me, because I did think we were going to hold on to the House, maybe just a little bit. I didn't think the Democrats had anything really to show. And I think the Democrats' side, many of them, were just tired of hating on Trump. I should say the independents, not the diehards that watch MSNBC all day, but the average independents that would sway such an election. I didn't think that they were that angry per se, because there's not much else to run on. Democrats haven't done anything. But regardless, the Republicans held off quite a bit. And to give credit to Donald Trump, is that everywhere that Donald Trump went, they held those seats, I think, for almost everyone.
Yeah, no, man, the boy did some work. I give him that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm looking at some of these. Let's see. We got Dr. Shiva. He only got a few percent. And, you know, we got the fake Indian, you know, up there, 60%. So Elizabeth Warren wins hers. I look at Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I just thought, I mean, that's just so bad. I mean, you know, are they supporting corruption? I guess so, because she won with 60%. You know, I mean, it's not all, it's only a third of the precincts reporting, but she's at 60%. Here in Arizona, the McSally Cinema thing, we may not know who won for a month. They got, you know, they're going to be filing suits on which ballots to, you know, it's neck and neck. It's, you know, like half a percent. It's going to trigger a recount.
Ernie, I wanted to ask you about that. I was just checking that up this morning. So they're saying, well, Maricopa County, which is, for those of you outside Arizona, is one of the largest county voting blocks in the entire nation. Maricopa is this huge city sprawl kind of thing. And also, it probably will bend a little bit towards Sinema, the Democrat, only because it's more of the metro area of ASU here and all the college votes, all of this stuff. So Sinema might actually still pull this thing out. But the kicker is they're saying, well, Maricopa County, it's going to take a week to count. I'm trust me, if anyone knows about voter fraud and issues in Arizona, it's you. I'm just curious why, of all the counties, I mean, every other county was in the country, every other state and area was able to pull that off and count the votes. And we need a week. And he can't say it's because it's close, because there are many other races that were extremely close, and they counted last night. Any thoughts that you've read about why it's still taking a week?
Yeah, because they can. what they do is you have the ballots that actually go through the machine, and it gets a total. Now, see, it's all computer. I mean, this is why I don't have any faith in the system. So me explaining it how it's supposed to work don't mean squat, okay? How it's supposed to work with these optical readers is it goes through and it puts the total onto like a flash drive. Now, those flash drives, when we did some touring and we were doing suits and freedom of information and everything, every piece of equipment that goes through, like you bring out that thing, that memory key, and you go put it into the counting computer, and it adds it to the memory, and kind of, but you got all this backup paper that you said, nope, you can't, you know, ever use that to compare with what the results are. Well, then we changed that law in 06, and then they didn't follow it, and it goes on and on and on. What happened is that this device that they put over is supposed to go straight to that counting computer. Well, what they do is it goes into a laptop that then connects to the counting computer. We go, since when did that laptop get in? I don't see that on the equipment list. How the hell did you do that? They could change all kinds of crap. So they're in the process of what ballots get counted. I'll explain it when we come back.
All right.
From the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, when we come back, I want to make sure we do our little voting story, you know, and then...
I'll let you do that. I don't want to open that ball, that whole thing. By the way, when we come back also, when you talk about the voting machines, do me a favor, though. The main question, I'll just throw it to you right now, is why, and is this just specific to Arizona? I mean, is it,
it's not necessary. Sorry, but it is, you know, what happens. Because this is what's going to happen. They have a bunch of other votes that are yet to be counted. It's like provisional ballots that went in. You know, the right people that had, you know, a write-in thing, those were pulled out and, you know, they're done separately. And then you have, I don't know if it counts them, and then you got to count the write-in or what. But then there's, things that come from overseas, like military stuff, you know, did they make the deadline on the mailing thing and what got delivered? And that, you know, and the problem is just like with Keith's ballot, you know, what the hell is that sound? Well, quit. The Keith's ballot is what barcode is on. It's not supposed to be attached to his name. It's a secret ballot. Well, what it does when it goes through the machine, it says, all right, how is it going to count it, what precinct he's at, and what legislative races, and, you know, that kind of crap, so it can count it. Well, all of this stuff that, you know, is separate from them going actually down and putting it through the machine, that's separate. And a lot of times, they had to change the laws to allow them to start counting before 7 p.m. all of these other ballots that come in the mail and early balloting and all this different stuff they wanted to do. But then they were, you know, that's what Fatally Flawed movie was about. They were doing that a week or two in violation of the law early, so that they knew what the totals were, so that they could direct their money to their buddies to influence the election on commercials or something. Oh, this one's good. We got 60%. Here's a squeaker. Go spend all your hundreds of thousands on this thing. Well, they caught them doing that. You know, so now do they get to do it? And are they secret? And they cut back to front? It's all manipulation. Well, then the challenge is going to be, which of these provisionals can be counted, you know, which ones, you know, are challenged and we want them in a more D area. The attorneys will, you know, break the bank to try and get, you know, 2,000 more ballots included, and because it's going to come down to the wire, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all argument of, and then it's got to go to a hearing and blah, 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 blah. All this stuff could drag out. I've seen it be over a month. You know, this is what happened with Bob Anderson and his races, you know, for Congress. That
we're just wondering why Arizona seems, I mean, you think with more, you know, modern state.
I have no idea.
We're not Timbuktu. How can we have this problem?
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
I'm just, you know, more, you know, can we be done? No! You got to drag this crap out for more, I don't care. So this is, my estimation is that we'll get into the details on the election stuff, but, you know, my estimation is this. The tone's going to change. The media, ouch, quit it, hair pulling out crap the Democrats have been doing. I don't think they're thinking it's working. It's getting really old. It's NPC, okay? So I think are going to be more cooperative. We're going to work with Trump. Trump's not that bad. He's willing to do a deal. We can do something. They're outside of this election thing now and all this extreme left-right. Well, a lot of the progressive base are going to be freaking out that they abandoned the socialism cause of, well, and don't worry about it. They'll be back. I mean, don't worry about it. But the right now, they're wanting to get some stuff done, and their guys ain't making the money, and we got a big, giant change in foreign policy of trade. We got unions and labor and some big money, and they got some interest, and we need cooperation. The president, we'll get him something, we get something, and they go spend around spending more money, and a lot of it, a big, giant, humongous chunk of it is going to be in infrastructure rebuilding and union jobs of elect Democrats. And I see cooperation is going to be the norm now. Oh, we're going to be all kinds of buddies. Because the Republicans retain the Senate, and he's going to get a bunch of his confirmations through, and the Republicans is being on board now, because this is not the Republican Party. It's Trump's Republican Party. So this is, let me show you how to use Air Force One. You want to know how? I'll show you. Okay. So this is everything I think is going to change, but it's going to be the left wing and the right wing of the Bird of Prey party is going to be left jackboot, the right jackboot, or the boot on my throat party. That's what's going to happen. So there's going to be a lot of cooperation now and doing, but what do they have? All these investigations Mueller will come out with, who's going to get frog marched in the corruption of draining the swamp, and it's exactly what I anticipated was going to happen. Drain the swamp is going to be art of the deal. We got this here, and they got, and ouch, and quit it, and there's going to be a detente, and you're going to have threats of Hillary running again in 2020, and you're going to, I mean, it's just going to be, this is why I don't get sucked in. Now, with the election, how they do it, it changes all the time, too. But the bottom line is this. They don't want the paper to be the determining factor. Everything that they do, the paper is just, you know, make you feel better. But it goes in, it is a machine count. When it recounts, we'll push the button again. Yep, it says the same thing, okay? When it comes down, because this is a statewide race, they're getting nervous. Because if they have to go to actual paper ballots and count them, or manually, which is part of, there's like, you know, 2% of random, whatever the hell, they got to go through that now too. So this, that was, you know, thing that we got done. Well, what happens is now they're going to be arguing over which ballots, because you have provisional ballots. They were going to do a provisional ballot when Frank and I went down, because my driver's license didn't have the same address as my passport and my voter ID, because it's an old piece of crap driver. It said 2021, and damn, it's going to make it. This is out of principle. But anyway, so if I didn't have matching ID, it would have to have been provisional. I go, wait, I got a passport here, use this. And they go, yep, okay, same one, because they went through the process. Now, so the argument is going to be over what leftover ballots get counted in this thing. That is what. Then they'll do challenges like, well, you violated their voting rights because you closed the polls at 7, like you said, but there were problems with the machine and you didn't have it right. There's more problems again because of electronics. And then they had in Sun City, Northwest Valley, they go, yeah, we can't vote. Why? Well, we're updating the system. Updating it? In an election? What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, Maricopa County elections went down and kind of, so they're connected. So the bunch more questions come up. This, I don't trust the whole damn thing. So it's going to get drug out on lawsuits on which ones are going to be counted. There's still some more to be counted, and they count. When it gets really close like this, it triggers, I think it's 0.5% or within 200 votes or a 0.1% or something like that. It triggers an automatic recount. Well, that is a statewide thing on just, it's going to be a thing. You're not going to know, unless somebody concedes on this, you're not going to know who's won this election with a Democratic, you know, county recorder, you know, and a bunch of ties into the county recording and everything, and cinema from back in the day that I know. There's some, and it's not like she's not going to get a fair shake, I guarantee that, at least, you know what I mean? So I'm going, this you won't know for a month. You wouldn't even know when you're going to know for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah, well, I think actually I may have flagged it that they either found some dead people that voted, or they may have received a ballot from Ernest Hancock, and it just threw the whole system off.
They like, know what the hell? Okay, this is what happened. Frank is so, I mean, he's so. So here comes in Tarzan Keith, And he's just like, he don't care either, you know. He wears Hillary shirts, Trump hat, but you don't care, you know. It's like, whatever. So he has his early ballot, and he brings it in, and he's like, okay, well, here, I need help, Frank, you know, voting this ballot, you know, because I'm, like, blind and I can't write or something, right? So Frank, man, he does it up. And I go, hey, man, I got a ballot. I go down the street here, you know, and you can help me vote, you know, and then be all good. Oh, man, Frank's getting a lot of I voted stickers, okay? So he's just plastering his chest. So I go, all right, because I wanted to go see how the thing was, but I'm not getting all invested in, I don't care.
Ernie, seriously, when was the last time that you, like, voted? I mean, how long ago was it?
It was 02, and I remember I remember distinctly what happened. It was, the process was so, I mean, all right, yeah, I got to go vote for the Libertarians. And you put on your to-do list, you know, take kids to school, pick up that, get milk, vote, you know, whatever. It's just on, when you check off, you accomplish something, you get like a little dopamine hit, like you clicked on your Facebook or something, right? You know, I go, boom, I checked that off, boom, I checked that off, boom, I checked that off. And when I got out of the voting thing and I checked, I felt bad. I felt like I did something wrong. I felt guilty. And I go, hey, man, I'm trusting this one. That was weird. I went and voted, and I felt like I needed a shower or something. So I just go, no, I'm not doing it anymore. And then when Ron Paul was running in the 08 campaign, I made up my own ballot. And it just had, you know, I hereby write in my vote number and all this kind of crap. I just made up some form, write in, you know, Ron Paul. So I just went in, they got me, you know, checked me in. Okay, yeah, I'm here, got, you know, okay. And then I just turned right and just handed all the things back with that on top of all the paper and said, here's my vote, and walked out. Well, they're yelling at me, it's not going to count, you know, and I'm like, just being real buttheads, you know. I'm going, it already did, you know, I don't give a crap, you know. I said, it already did, I don't care what you do with it, you'll throw all that shit away, I don't care, you know. So that was the last time that I did anything. I did go in, Donna wanted to support Ron Paul, she registered Republican and got her card and all this other crap, goes and they, oh, provisional ballot. That whole election, all these people that went to vote for Ron Paul and so on, you had to go into the provisional, we might count it later stack, you know? And I just, this is, and I don't even think they count them if the races are, you know, a difference that doesn't, it wouldn't matter. You know, so there's, you think you get a voice, but you don't really. Well, we'll talk about, when we come back, you know, Frank and I went to the polls. You know, where Frank, he had a super voice this election because he was helping people. Helping. You can have a helper. I'm a disabled voter. So what are the other, we need to get into the races. I'll do that real quick, and then I want to get into, you know, some of the highlights. The only thing that I thought was interesting, you know, that I cared about was, yes, Debbie Wasserman Schultz thing. I was just, can you be that corrupt and do that well? Hell, that's how you can do well. They go, oh, yeah, we love us some Deborah, you know.
Yeah, well, it went the other way, too. I mean, you've got Ted Cruz, which, you know, I mean, if they're after a whole year and a half of lying Ted, and in my opinion, I do think he's a liar. We've talked about whether he's antisocial or not.
Well, that's, he went up against the money, and the guy kind
of
lost.
No, I know. They threw everything at him, and, of course, why did they do that? They had the balls to do it because, you know, they figured, well, Donald Trump spent all this time breaking this guy down. He's all softened up now. Let's just go and finish him off.
If Ted Cruz gives Donald Trump one lick of problem, he deserves whatever the hell they do.
Oh, I know. I mean, Ted Cruz is like he's wearing a collar and a leash.
Yeah, he better. He better be doing that Chris Christie thing, man. You know, just stand there and shut the F up and do what you're told.
I can see some memes already, man. I mean, Ted Cruz is a bit.
Okay. I want to see Trump. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Trump Cruz memes. Trump Cruz memes. Hell yeah.
Well, anyway, I did make a solid prediction, which is a prediction no one will really care about, and that is that Ted Cruz will step down after this term. Now, granted, 6 years from now, no one's going to give a crap about Ted Cruz. That's the point. The fact of the matter is, he just ran for president, came in second, and of course, the only reason he did, aside from being cunning and a liar, is that he was able to switch teams and jump into bed after running as the anti-establishment candidate, if you guys remember, jumped in bed with the whole establishment in order to win. So that is the classic politician, and he did that in Texas, of course. So here's a guy that just ran, came in second place for president, and he almost lost to a Democrat, of all things. Now, granted, I give you all the credit. I mean, I give him the credit to the fact that the Democrats threw everything at him. But still, I think for someone of his mentality, when you're close to losing, you're not going to push it another time. He may as well leave now on top and make some good marketing, some good lobbying money, let's say, when he leaves. It's better to leave on top than on defeat. So I just think Ted Cruz's days are numbered. And that's also what we saw in these elections overall. That was one of the uphill battles that the Republicans had in the House and the Senate, but mainly the House, of so many old school neocon type Republicans that all decided to jump ship because they saw the they've been in power for like, what, 8 years or so. And when you're in power, when you happen to be the majority, things are a lot easier. You know, you wound up becoming the head of a committee or something. And so when all of a sudden you see yourself waning in your political existence, and then all of a sudden you know you're going to lose power, now you're going to be under Pelosi or somebody, it's like, you know what, I'd rather leave on top and get a good cushy lobbying job and leave early. So, and plus you have people like
Trent Franks, or you just leave and keep your $40 million, don't go to jail or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then so you have people who do flaked out. It's kind of a nice new term, you know. Jeff Flake here in Arizona, perfect example, where they all claim about how I'm here for America, and I want a strong America. We had to keep from this poison of Donald Trump. So the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to step down. Instead of sitting there and fighting like the Freedom Caucus did, you know, when they were in the minority of the minority party, you know, they still fought. When Jeff Flake, for the first time, people like him are out of power, God forbid, it's time to cut and run. Okay, those are the swamp rats. And that's the other hidden story here, is that so many people...
Okay, hold on, we're coming back. Let's continue it here. Right. Sum it up.
And this is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Frank Canberry, all excited, got the post-analysis, put that boy on Fox, man. He going to explain it to you. Well, you look at some of these races and you just kind of know it's just, seriously. You know, you have the gazillions of dollars. I've never seen so much money spent on that. You could not turn on the, I don't watch television, but I watch football every now and then, God forbid, you know. And even they have, I was so proud of myself in... I think it was 14, there was a gubernatorial election, and I didn't see a single campaign commercial the entire election cycle. I was so much happier. I was fine. Now, you can't go on the internet. You can't, you know, open any page of anything. There is, you know, Roku. You know, you're on any channel that you're getting a feed from anywhere of internet of anything, and Facebook, which I don't do, you know. But I mean, just floods in. It's just amazing. And to have Cruz win, Elizabeth Warren, Deborah Wasserman Schultz, and all these guys, it's how much money you can throw at it. Cruz needs to be Trump's, he's his boy now. You know, and if he gives him one lick of problem, I am like, that guy, you know, I can't believe the Republican Party puts up with that crap.
Yeah, we're saying off the air that he's going to be his little B.I., you know what, with a little collar on. Some of you guys should make some great memes about that.
Yeah, no, it's coming, man.
Oh, it's coming.
I got to tell you this. Chris Christie, remember when he went out and he stood behind Trump and his job was to stand there for 20, 30 minutes, stone face, and just, you know, I'd be his bitch. And Ted better get on it, but take a lesson from.
Ted should get lessons. I mean, I think Donald Trump is creating a collection of defeated political
callers,
Republicans, and so yeah, it's his own little harem, his dog harem.
Okay, let me tell the voting thing. We can get that out.
Wait. Let me just finish this one point. So we're talking off the air, and I was just mentioning that one of the hidden stories, aside from the fact that I think Ted Cruz is going to step down after his next term for reasons I talked about off the air, but I think that. This election, many of the people who left, and one of the it's one of the reasons Republicans had a harder time even with all the Trump's work, too, is the fact that so many establishment Republicans left. And they left, you know, because for greener pastures, because they're cowards like Jeff Flake, who just figure it's easier to make money outside, you know, when the going gets tough, than leave Congress and make money, unlike the Freedom Caucus that would stick it out for patriotic reasons. But nevertheless, many of them left just because, you know, they saw the party changing for Trump. But what that means, though, is it was a harder uphill battle because incumbents are easier to unseat. But with all these people leaving, you had many new fresh races, just like here in Arizona. It's why we're having this debate right now for the Senate seat. But the hidden story is simply that that is what Donald Trump ran on to drain the swamp. And when he said drain the swamp, I've said over and over to my liberal friends, it wasn't necessarily about draining it of Democrats. It was starting with your own house first.
Hell yeah.
And that's what he did during the primary. And that's what you saw last night, guys, was a draining of the swamp to its finality. And so every Republican that's going to come back in, they have kissed the ring of Donald Trump. And everyone that won in the big states, Texas with Cruz, that's what we're joking about, but Florida, okay, with both races in Florida, and you're looking and Ohio, all of these races with huge electoral maps, Donald Trump went and he won every one where the Democrats threw everything at him. He won it. So he has been set up wonderfully for 2020 because he now has governors in all these top states with all the electoral votes, and he's drained the swamp along with it. That's what's going on. This is an amazing win for Donald Trump.
Okay, so that was a part of his strategy also, is electoral college and making sure you got the governors in to kind of, you know.
Absolutely. The only big state he doesn't have is California and Pennsylvania, maybe.
Okay, all right, that's one strategy. All right, this is what happened yesterday. Frank is so, you know, and I don't care. I mean, whatever. This piece of paper is going to make him happy. He can help me vote, right? So we go down, and I said, all right, after the show, let's just do it. Before I even edit, whatever, just get it done. So this is the experience. We go there, and it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock here. So at 10:30, 11, you're thinking it's not going to be very busy. I mean, it wasn't packed, but we had to wait in line. I mean, it was still filled out in there, and we're like two or three people back, and there are people coming in behind. So it was a steady stream of way more. Heck, that's how it used to be in the freaking morning. I mean, you know, nobody cared. So, especially midterm. So this was, I could see, yeah, you're going to have some something here. Well, when we pull in, it was at a church, and they have like six handicap spots there kind of angled out. And then there was two spots that says for first-time guest or something like that. I go, oh, hell yeah. That is me. I'm a first-time vote guy. You'll go over there. We go park in that space, right? So I get out and stand there with my ballot, and he took a picture of it, and we'll put it up one day. But, you know, so we pull in. We walk into the thing, and I'm like, all right. And I have my driver's license, passport, and, passport card thing they have. And because my driver's like, you can hardly see it. But I'm dragging it out. So I have my passport in case. And then, you know, the voter ID card, your voter registration card. So I go in, and I'm like, I need to vote. Oh, he goes, no, one at a time. I go, no, I'm a disabled voter. He's here to help me. Man, you say that magic word disabled, man, they're all over it, you know. And they go, oh, not a problem, sir. Well, thank you for helping him vote. I mean, that kind of crap. So we go in, and I show him my driver's license, and they have a screen that you check into, which, it's all theater, though. But you go in, and they scan my voter ID because it has some kind of barcode or something on it. Boom, pulls me up. Is this you? Yep, that's me. Is this dress correct? Yes, it is. You got, you know, a photo ID or some other ID to ballot, because they have, you know, two voter registration and an ID in Arizona. So I'm going, really? Okay. So I show them the driver's license, and they go, but the driver's license address isn't the same. It's, you know, like 30 years old. You screw them. So I, and they go, well, we're going to have to do a provisional ballot. I go, no. I don't want to play that game. Here's my passport. It has the same address. They go, okay. They go back, and they, all right, fine. Then it prints out a ballot. I guess they have a printer there. Now, not all the places were the same. A lot of people had different machines and different, they were doing weird crap. Anyway, this one printed out an actual ballot. That's what they said happened. So it gives me the one that's specific to my district or whatever. So because they have overlapping districts at, you know, some of these voting places and combine them. But so it printed out for me. I got my little custom ballot, and Frank and I go over to a thing, and I put it down, and he helped me. Okay. While he helped me. Yeah, you got to be careful what you say, man. That puts your ass in whatever. But so I go, you know, peace out here. Go ahead and help me. So he, you know, helped me. And he goes through and dun, dun, dun. And then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, some of these are prepositions are confusing and how you have whatever. So we get through that. And after I got helped, I go and I take it over and I just run it through the machine. Count, boom, done. All right. So Frank, and I get the, you know, I voted sticker. And I hand it to Frank, and I go, you know, because you helped me. Here, you can have this. And how many help stickers did you get? How many? Come on.
I don't know.
You're a super delegate. You're a super delegate.
I'm a super,
super delegate. So this is how seriously, and I trust, you know, Frank not to be helping me, you know, to whatever. I don't care. You know, I really don't care. Did that? What'd you think of doing that for me, helping me? I mean, you know, that kind of help. You feeling good?
Oh, I feel good. I just feel bad for you because you know, next year or in 2 years, you know, you won't be able to park in that first time visitor spot again.
So you're gonna be
all depressed.
I wanted somebody to challenge me on that. And there was like a, you know, 6-person golf cart, you know, staff guy going around. He kind of eyeballing me. I'm going, hey, man, you know, I was waiting for somebody to say something. I'm a disabled voter. And I'm first time.
Ernie, so when we get into the break, real quick, just explain everyone, what kind of changes have you found between voting since 2002 and now? I mean, it's like it's been a whole while and the process has changed a bit.
It's digitized way more, a lot less. They have the paper, you know, make you feel better, but it's way more digitized than this is. It's so many fewer and fewer points of, you know, they get the control. It's disturbing.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Okay, in this last segment, you got a plan what you want to do. We got through about everything. Yeah, we got to be careful about this helping thing. You know, the man you go admitting to, you know, over-helping, they don't like it. It's like it's Rome.
yeah. Well, I mean, they're all voting. They're voting, not me.
Well, the thing is that they, it's in law. When they go to, the Democrats are on this heavy. They go to these nursing homes and assisted livings and whatever. And they bundle them and they pay. It's just biggest amount of freaking ooh I've ever seen.
Yeah, and, I know. And they would make an issue with a few libertarians. You know, for what it's worth, though. And for a couple people that asked me for voter assistance, I have to say, I do understand, you know, I respect the fact of the principles of you know, without getting too much into all this, is that, you know, many libertarians who refuse to give power to the man and yet at the same time felt that internal struggle that many of us do, which is, I don't trust the system. I don't want to give power to it. But at the same time, it's like, this is a different election. And like, how do you rectify that when especially in a state that's about to, you know, decide everything, and you have a president who's not perfect, of course, but is helping to unravel all the concepts that libertarians have been banging our head about trying to say. I mean,
because all of this stuff is happening already, technologically, culturally, education, what value it had. I mean, hell, now it's like, I don't give a crap if you got a degree. Can you do this? I mean, take this test. All right, you're hired. I mean, you know, and oh, by the way, you don't need as much money because you don't have $15 gazillion in debt. So this is a, it's a society change. It's just where you see it, where they want to you to see it, they, them, those, where, you know, the manifestation of change is in the election. It's in voting. And I go, that's just one of 15 gazillion other bellwethers of what's happening. And by putting so much emphasis on it, it's like teaching to a test. You know, here's it. You're going to learn that. Well, there's so many other things that need to, yeah, but damn it, we got this test thing right, and you vote in, like it has really any, that education does anything to really change anything. So that's why I don't want to give it more credibility than it's due. To me, right, it's more like a poll. I mean, it's just, you know, what people did and said and came out, and but with all the social media manipulation in the brain of everybody and the Skinner boxes, people are starting to realize. They always come. I'm worried when they actually try and change us with chemicals, you know, and PSYOP, or even the PSYOP stuff we eventually come out of.
By the way, last night, I don't know if you were aware of kind of the inside baseball, but when the networks and all come up with their predictions.
Well, here, we're coming back here. All right.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Everybody just wants to rule the world. I know everybody but me, except my world. You know, I get to rule my world. Damn Skippy. It was my world. You know, it's got right here. You know, my world. Everybody wants to rule somebody else's world, you know? Yeah.
Well, speaking of ruling, we're just talking about, you know, polling and the usual, a very hot topic for libertarians. But it's a little bit inside baseball. I don't know if you're aware that they changed the way that the polling or the exit polling is done. So for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, whatever it's been, they've been using exit polling, standardized exit polling technique, whatever it is. And I don't know the details on this. But anyway, they've all been using it. And what a lot of people don't know is that when you watch CNN or Fox or whatever that you are for your returns, it's all coming from the same information. It's kind of like when you buy supplements that all have different labels.
It was the World Trade Center was plugged into the county computers back in the early, mid-90s, and that was all where everybody got everything from. It was done by the media. It's so corrupt.
Right. So it's all coming from the same source. It just depends on what station, how they want to spin it or analyze it or whatever. Okay, it just seems like you can see the spinning when they're all getting the same information and you watch different channels, they have completely different interpretations, right? Well, anyway, the question is, and I don't know this is from a future show, I don't know if it was from the 2016 overthrow and, you know, the confusion, or if it was already planned, I don't know. But this last election, they scrapped the old exit polling technique and they used a new one. Boy, doesn't that put the alarm bells on for those of us, called the AP technique. And I think it stands for the Associated Press. And they came up with some kind of technique that everyone adopted this last time. And supposedly it increases the validity and the efficacy.
Well, how do they do it?
Huh?
How do they do it?
I don't know. Like I said, this is like I just found this out yesterday.
So they got a new thing, and we don't know how they new thinged it.
Don't know how. Is it more accurate or not? And of course, the AP is involved with it, and you got the fake news people helping with a new polling system. I mean, I still don't trust it, but that's something for another show we can look into. It was a very interesting night. I think both sides had some delusions of grandeur on either side. But really, we didn't have a pulse of the people. For the independents. And I think in some ways this country subconsciously or consciously seems to find that pulse in the middle. It seems to just keep battling it out. I'm afraid, though, that this country is demarcated even more because, I mean, it's like every other race, 50-50, 50-50, and where the 50% are, where the splits are. It's rural and urban. It's the rural areas versus the suburbs across the board. You're also seeing, and this is a bigger picture, by the way, is I think the advantage, and this is a deeper thing, is that Donald Trump's real legacy is going to be about recalibrating the culture and solidifying our culture and the rule of law through the judicial picks that he's been doing nonstop, most people are not paying attention. You know, he does some kind of tweet and the liberal media jumps over there. And meanwhile, he's putting in federal judges, then, of course, the Supreme Court. And now with the Senate, a stronger Senate, he can put even more conservative judges coming in for the next 2 years or 6 years. The thing is, when he stacks the deck with more conservative originalist judges, here's what I'm getting to, is that we have a ticking time bomb of millennials. All these millennials that were indoctrinated with the taxpayer money for student loans that Bernie Sanders wants us all to pay for. But the thing is, they've been indoctrinated for a generation or so by far leftist professors that were at, were at Woodstock in the 60s. They can't get a job and they all have tenure and they're all sitting here brainwashing our kids who then come home and tell your parents, tell you as the parent that you happen to be privileged and you don't deserve anything. And so this anger of teenagers, of 20-year-olds that are in your mom's basement and they can't get a job and they're bitching and complaining about everything and they're victims from day one, that is, that gaggle is now getting to the point of full voter activation. And when that sets off, you know, they're going to want to, that's the danger coming up. When the baby boomers start dying off, the all in the family generation start, and Don Rickles people die off, and all you have are angry millennials, it's going to take a solid judicial court that will be rock solid, at least somewhat, for the next generation to weather the storm of people who don't even understand what the 10th Amendment is or the 4th Amendment. They've never even read the damn Constitution. That, I think, is what Donald Trump is protecting us from, whether he knows it or not. But that's going to be his legacy, is the court system. Mark my words. It's not tweets.
I think that's going to have a big impact, but as with all things, it's a side effect. And I see that the education of these kids, once they get out in the real world, the precariat. You know, that's why we named a pirate ship the Precariat, because they have this enormous debt. They have no job skills. They don't have a job. And they commercialize to want the next everything, and I can vote and make them give it to me. And then they find their property taxes went to the roof, or their rent went up, or their taxes went up. Oh, I need a bigger school with all the fluffies and kind of in the overpass of the subsidized park of I vote and magic money will make it happen. And then they create this infrastructure that just, you know, falls on itself through pensions and overspending and corruption and all. And then they get an education. Yeah, it's going to be so obvious that they're just, and then anything that they want to do to solve it, it's illegal and you're not allowed. So what has happened, what came out of that was the technological revolution of a lot of things. Elon Musk is going to be seen like Steve Jobs, and he's going to electrify everything. And, you know, the energy companies don't like it. And we get, you know, solar, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to space. And, you know, we got rocket ship BFRs, you know, military guy. Yeah, the future is coming really fast. And this is the point that I've been making for the past few years, emphasizing this, why I'm so optimistic. And they're going to be part of that and benefit from it. And they're screaming about robots. And then they find out if they could buy one, you know, they wouldn't have to work anymore. So it's, but that their philosophy is what they're taking all of this productivity and giving it to the government in the form of taxes or you owe or we need and we need, we need, we need. It's all part of the education. It's part of the fourth turning. If you read the book, The Fourth Turning, it goes like 80-year cycles and 20-year increments and four segments. And we're in the fourth turning now, which is going to be, you think it's been bad before, it's going to get there and probably through economics. But I think there's been enough information of who got us here and how, and you know, Facebook and how all this crap. And there's a whole nother wave that's coming. That's what we're taking advantage of. That's what I've been waiting on. This is it. All the stuff that I've been going on, you never tell me this is it. I'm telling you, this is it. It's going to be an abandonment of this because there's no choice. Now, how much they clean it up or put lipstick on that pig, we'll see. But, you know, it's going to be the economy stupid, and it's all going to be, I have no idea what's going to happen. And you're right. Having good constitutional kind of a philosophical basis foundation of what, you know, the thing that we have in common is the freedom aspect. You know, freedom's the answer, what's the question, which is going to be resurrected a lot more in this country. And I see for the voluntarist and the libertarian, that is going to be the philosophy is what's going to be a threat to the system. Not just libertarian candidates. They just pass laws, so they don't have to worry about that. So you're going to see something here in Arizona downtown density. I went down for a discussion group meeting. It's down center town. No, I was down there. It was most recent. I was at this Google thing at Burton Barr Library, downtown. And I go down there, and all the vacant lots, the old buildings, they're raised down to the ground, and they got new multi-dwelling. I'll bet you in just a downtown area in a square mile, there's been an increase of at least 20 to 40,000 people in that district. It's going to be, you're going to be a legislator of a city block. And I can see it coming, but where do you attack them? Where they're the most strong? Where do you got that density? Crap, man, we can be pirates downtown. So we're going to start having us some fun, because what's the alternative? You give it to the Democrats. You give it to the socialist philosophy, or we're just going to vote for everybody to pay for our light rail subsidy or something. You know, there's a lot of things that are coming, and where do we put our effort? This is the turning point. This is the fourth turning now. This election and Trump's, that was just a side effect. You know, the real change is coming. Well, thank you. Frank?
I mean, there we are. No, I completely agree. You and I are in agreement, which is the fact that Trump is not, you know, he's not just people are not voting for Trump as some cult of celebrity. He represents the change in the culture that Dr. Ron Paul and others have set up. And you're right. And that's an important distinction. The left thinks that we're just falling in for a cult for some Nazi leader. It's not. It's a culture change. Trump is a result of it, or side effect of it, and it continues.
Okay, I think my prediction is there's going to be immigration deals. There's going to be trade deals. There's going to be cooperation between the Republicans and Democrats on the appointments of blah, 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 blah. There's going to be, you know, tax policies. There's going to be, I think you're going to be see the biggest wave of a whole bunch of usurpations of your rights and sure as hell your money. And debt like you wouldn't believe on things like infrastructure and so on. And, you know, the two wings.
And Trump has the ultimate Trump card. He's veto. Holding on to all the dirt on Clinton. If he still has that.
Yeah, right? this is.
And that's why he held it until now. I'm telling you, the House now, if they try impeachment hearings, he can slap back his powder.
Oh, so that's what the art of the deal is.
Because
they're talking about not doing impeachment. They're going, well, no, the tone needs to be, we need to get more quiet. We're going to have, see, I like gridlock. Oh, you got gridlock. I'm like, good. You know, I feel better.
Yeah, but think this over. You've got this impeachment warning with Maxine Waters and the rest of them, and we'll see. I mean, the Democrats have to make a decision. Do they want to come back to the grown-up table or not? Right. In other words, and granted, we're talking politicians in general, but what I'm saying is that are they going to come back to some kind of sense of rationality to like old school Democrats like Kennedy? I mean, are they going to come back to their roots, or are they going to continue with this leftist thing with Cortez, who now is the youngest female senator ever, right? Which is, it's nice if you have a female.
Oh, did she win?
Young,
she won?
She won. She was automatic. No, she was unopposed. Like 85% in her district put her in. So we've got a person.
Wait. She was unopposed in the general?
Yeah, well, she was it was not unopposed, but they just threw up a prop Republican because no Republican can take
wow.
that. Look, if they're putting in a socialist, like a far leftist socialist, I mean, she was in there because that one district is like this one little pocket where there's no resistance at all. So she just sailed right through. That's why the media was so, interested in watching
her. No, is she for Congress or U.S. Senate? I think she's Congress.
Congress. She's
yeah,
Congress.
God, so don't scare me, man.
But
shit.
The thing is, imagine she already got the phone call from Pelosi and the rest, and Schumer, even though Schumer's Senate, and she probably got the saying, look, you're a rising star, you're awesome, but here's how it works. You know, this is what you're going to bow down before. And the thing is, she's so, I hate to say the word, I don't think she's, let's just say she's not very bright. And to have someone not very bright means that she's also very malleable. And it's almost like Alice in Wonderland. She's going to go into this whole world and be indoctrinated with her own.
Or she's going to go, screw you, I'm progressive and you're not enough, and bite me.
It might be, because we'll see what the House fight is.
And then they'll
Pelosi.
Explain it to her.
because you've got how many people coming back who won their House races who swore that they would not support Pelosi. So the House is going to have their own civil war about who runs it. Is it going to go far left and break left and modern and new young people? Or is it going to be the old traditionalist establishment? That is what they have to figure out. The thing is, if they go far left and they have that fight, Donald Trump's just going to be slapping them around for the next 2 years. So they're going to have their own little, you know, a reckoning to see what direction.
Well, I'm there's so many sub stories here. I'm waiting waiting for Trump the movie. You know, that's going to be. Can you imagine the movie? It's just going to be so awesome. And they there's a lot to be learned here, but I think you're going to see this more presidential Trump tone thing. You know, because, and that's one thing in a lot of the interviews, and he goes, "Do you regret your tone?" And then he goes, "You know, yeah, I wish I didn't have to do it, but you know, I didn't have a choice. I mean, you want to play? Let's play. You want to
Ernie, that's the one area. My mother, hey, mom, she's probably listening. She and I go back and forth on this because she just, as most people, holds her nose and just always says, no matter what Trump does, it's always the caveat, but I don't like what he says and how he says it and his tone. And she's like so many people who just say that as a caveat every time. And I sit back and I'm saying, look, to my mom and others. I love it. They don't understand that the reason he's acting that way, it's not that he started it. He's just pushing back after decades of the left calling us racist and bigots and sexist and uncaring, you know what, blank, blank, blank. They've done it for so long.
NPC!
They've done it for so long, they've suppressed people. The silent majority has been even more silent, where they're afraid for their jobs, afraid to post anything, afraid to say anything without being called a racist. And we've been subdued so long that people like my mom and others don't understand that has been the hateful attack on us. So when Donald Trump comes back and just basically throws it back in their face, everyone goes, oh my God, did you hear what he said? Oh, how dare he? But the thing is, it's the one person, thank God, that he's able to be independent enough financially and politically to push back in ways that the rest of us can't. When people are afraid to put a bumper sticker on their damn car, and then they complain that Donald Trump might be a little rough around the edges. It blows my mind that concept's there. I agree that Donald Trump needs to, you know, maybe he'll tone down a bit now that he's solidified a Republican base. He's created now his Trump army. It's like the Kiss army. He's created the Trump army now to go forward to take on the Democrats even more. And 2020 is going to be rocking. But I think the last part to this is the Trump card is that he's been holding on to all of that stuff about the investigations with the FBI and with Mueller and what's his name, Comey, that entire all that crap that we've been tracking on this show that I know you don't care about, but all that is about to come out. And the reason he's been holding it is to see what happens in these midterms. Because if he lost the House, which he did, just by a small margin, if they start going that leftist approach of impeach Trump, if they play that game, he can slap this can of whoop ass of all the stuff that Republicans and Sessions. We'll see what side of the law he's on, or at least what.
Yeah,
side
no, I'm. I'm. There's still. Down, so. Yeah, there's some entertainment to be had.
He's brilliant.
Get to my next guest, but you know, this right. is. I'm. There's a lot. We're not done with the Trump report, are we?
Well, I was hoping if there was a red wave, we could be done, but I guess we got another 2 years.
No, there's not another. Oh, hell yeah! All right. More Trump report with Dr. Frank. You know, it's gonna cause.
All right, see you next week.
Bye. All right, bye.